Customization, transparency, profit. The HedgeBetter sports betting platform is a revolutionary concept that creates a competitive advantage for every party involved in the sports betting process. We are putting the odds in your hands, cutting out the middleman, and empowering a future generation of sports bettors. Look for the HedgeBetter sports betting platform coming in 2023. In the meantime, visit us at www.hedgebetter.com, follow us on Instagram at HedgeBetter, and subscribe to the HedgeBetter YouTube channel.
Episode 95.
Bang.
Getting there. Welcome to Stale Nets, brought to you by HedgeBetter from our headquarters in Braintree, Massachusetts. Big show tonight. Me and Showtime took the guest under our wing. Messon's backup pinch hitter for Dave O'Brien, Mike Monaco, also featured on ESPN. Done some Little League World Series talk. He's a South Shore guy, so we got all into that. Great stuff. What do you think, Showtime? He's right here.
It was unreal. He talked about his experiences with Jerry Remy and just the legend to A-Rod, so it's some good stories.
Great stuff afterwards. We recap the Patriots, the loss to the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson went off. Mac Jones is in a pretzel. Just tough. Week 2 review. Week 3 picks. Aaron Judge breaks the 61.
Great stuff.
Gets the 61. Yeah, he's in 6. Recap the Chen softball tournament a little bit. Things got heated.
Is it champ? I don't see the trophy or anything.
That's in the whole second half for anyone who wants to see that porn.
Respectfully.
Anyone who's into that trophy porn.
And here is
Mike Monaco.
Trophy porn, that's a new one.
We're now joined by play-by-play announcer for ESPN, pinch hitter for Ness, whenever you want to call it, Mike Monaco, Cohasset native. We love having the South Shore guys out here. I know you're out of Chicago right now. You're living in Chicago. So how's it going out there? What's your week like in terms of schedule-wise and, you know, with baseball season winding down? I know you all do the whole nine yards when it comes to sports, but how's everything going, man?
Yeah, first of all, great to be with you guys. Thanks for the invite. Looking forward to chopping it up with you. Everything's good out here. Live in Chicago now. I'm kind of in the middle of my week, which right now, you know, any week could be different for what I do. But last weekend I had football. This weekend I'm on Red Sox duty. So last weekend I was in Tallahassee for Boston College football at Florida State. So down in Florida. We had a game there Saturday night, came back on Sunday. And then this weekend I'll do Red Sox up in Toronto against the Blue Jays Friday and Saturday, filling in for Dave O'Brien. So tomorrow I'll go to Toronto and then I'll come back on Sunday. In a busy time, like you get sports overlapping at this time of the year. You know, we got basketball that's not far away, NHL getting started next month. So I'll be bouncing around from sport to sport. But it's a ton of fun.
Wow, that sounds insane. That must be a lot of travel and doing all that. Second thing off the bat, I got to say, you do have a voice for radio. Jesus Christ.
We'll take it, man. We'll take it. So some people, I get chirped by people on Twitter. They don't like the voice, but, you know, you hear it all. So
being authentic. So.
I feel like you get a lot of positives and negatives. Like, you're always going to get haters. But I feel like people, at least in the Red Sox community, typically, like, enjoy when you fill in. And I'm definitely one of those guys. Kudos to you. I wanted to also bring up BC got blown out to Florida State. I saw them play Maine the week before. I did a little freelance coverage there. But, BC, it does not look good this year. But, that still must have been good to go down to Tallahassee, get a nice, good college football atmosphere early on in September, huh?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. They had it sold out. There were 80,000 people there. Florida State is just big-time college football. That's what college football should be like. And BC's, you know, unfortunately, they're on some tough times right now. A lot of that's just because of injuries, especially on their offensive line. So, like, I mean, if you don't have, you know, a consistent and experienced offensive line, it hurts your whole offense. So I think they'll get there, though. And Jeff Hafley's super impressive as a coach.
He's really good coach.
He's already done great things. And, yeah, he's got bright days ahead for that program. But,
even that main game I saw, they're off, like, the quarterback had no time. The offensive line just clearly too young and injured. So yeah, that's just another another thing in the BC football world. I just kind of wanted to spin it back. So your Cohasset guy, spin the roots. I know you went to Notre Dame, so you kind of know what, you know, the college football atmosphere is all about. What kind of got you into the, you know, broadcasting gig? You know, we all love sports. We all love talking about sports, and I'm sure playing growing up. But, you know, how do you get in that avenue of, you know, being a play-by-play guy, wanting to do more than just, you know, journalism covering the team, but, you know, talking, whether it's a telecast or a radio cast too?
Yeah, so I kind of stumbled into it. Actually, once I got to college, I didn't really start doing it till sophomore year of college. So, I mean, I'm sure I was like you guys growing up, like just loved sports, played everything, whatever sport was in season, just, you know, loved it. All the Boston sports teams, you know, played three sports into high school, was not good at any of them. So knew I wasn't going to play much longer than that, but knew I wanted to work in sports in some way. So went to college and thought I wanted to like work to be maybe someday in a baseball front office and like be the next Theo Epstein and try to do that. So went to college thinking I was going to be like an econ major and, you know, go the front office route or whatever.
Oh, wow.
But stumbled into the student newspaper at Notre Dame. And then from there, got latched on doing student radio stuff. What you were just saying, Naz, and like did a sports talk radio show, and that led into broadcasting like different sporting events for the athletic department. Like they were starting to stream events at Notre Dame. Like, you know, now we have ESPN3 and watch ESPN. Like when we started doing it there, like it was, we didn't even have that. It was just like on the school's website, and it would just be like a simple like webcam type of thing. So that was my first experience doing a Notre Dame women's soccer game against Duke. And I was terrible, but I loved it. You know, it was like the feel of being at a live sporting event and, you know, like kind of as close to playing a game as you can get or coaching a game without, you know, being on the team. So I loved like the live energy of it. And it just kind of run with it ever since.
So when you said you were awful, then who'd you look up to like kind of like influence yourself behind or like kind of like steal tips from to get better? Or like where would you practice on?
Yeah, ton of people, Craig. And like I still do it. So like, you know, I'm trying to get better right now. I mean, at everything, but like in particular, I've got the NHL season coming up for ESPN. And like, I know I need to get better as a hockey announcer. So like I'm watching film of like the guys who I think are the best NHL announcers and taking notes on them and being like, oh, what can I steal? Like, you know, little phrases they use or how they pace things or, you know, when they try to tell a story, like that sort of stuff.
I remember seeing Doc Emmerich. He just had like, I want to say 50 verbs of like action words, like going down. He would just like continuously use them just like during a playoff game. I'm sure he did it for all those years, but this is one tidbit there of those guys are just another level because I think hockey, it just going back and forth, you know, it never stops and until you, you know, you hear a whistle. So it must be so tough to do a play-by-play with that sport.
Yeah, yeah. Hockey for me is the hardest sport. Because of exactly what you just said, like it goes so fast and like in basketball, like there's time to know who subs into a game, you know, and there's only five guys on the court.
Yeah.
You're sitting courtside when you broadcast basketball or baseball. Like you can look down at your scorebook and be like, oh, like the seventh spot in the order is coming up. Like here's Reese McGuire, you know, like you don't need to on the fly be able to know, oh shoot, that's McGuire. Oh, and he just scored a goal. And meanwhile, when you're calling hockey, you're in like the nosebleeds or even higher, you know, trying to see something that's so far away.
Yeah.
So
before
yeah,
you know
hockey's
it,
really hard.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, before you know it, the puck's already dropping, like when you're already announcing the goal. It's so quick.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, if you look down and try to tell a story, like, or some note that you took on a player or some stat, like the moment is long gone with hockey. So yeah, yeah. Craig, like that's something I'm still doing always. But a lot of people that I've looked up to along the way, like Sean McDonough, who's a South Shore guy as well. Ian Eagle, Joe Buck. I mean, like all the big names. And then, yeah, like, you know, a little bit, you know, younger than those guys, like the next wave of great announcers like Jason Benetti, Adam Amin, Joe Davis, those guys and so many more. And then everyone in the Boston market as well. So,
oh, yeah,
it's pretty cool.
I loved Gary Streisky when he did the sideline. He was great for the sideline.
I mean, I feel like I hear Jack Edwards now just like picturing hockey games. You know what I mean? Like even when you're talking about like the transitioning of speed, like I feel like he does do a great job of like being able to transverse through that.
Yeah, yeah, he's awesome.
And another tip from that is, so what would you say your one of your catchphrases would be right now? Do you have any like ones that you'd be recognized for right now? Or
it's funny, I get asked that kind of a lot, and I don't have one, and maybe I should. So I'm open to suggestions from you guys or anyone else out there listening.
We could definitely make one.
But yeah, I feel like it kind of evolves over time, and like, and I think too, if you're doing a team every day, which I'm not. Then maybe like you get known for kind of the same thing in the big moment or whatever. But yeah, I'm lacking on that front.
Speaking of aspirations of, you know, wanting to do a team every day, you're the backup guy on the Red Sox, which I mean, growing up in Massachusetts, it's probably a dream job of yours. Just tell me how that gig kind of, you know, came into light backing up OB, who, you know, is a legend, is, you know, great at what he does. And, you know, you said you're getting in there this weekend to cover some more games. I don't know who they're playing this weekend, but yeah, just tell me how that kind of got in. I know you were an intern with Nesson, but how did that all turn out?
Yeah, couldn't have said it any better. Like OB, what a legend for what he's done locally, nationally as well. And he's been awesome to me even before I filled in for him. So I feel very lucky anytime I get to, you know, fill in for him when he's away on whatever other assignment. You know, a lot of times it's college football. So at this time of the year, so like he'll be calling a college football game this weekend. And so I'll fill in for him Friday and Saturday for the Red Sox up in Toronto. And yeah, so it first started in 2019. I was working for the Red Sox AAA team, the Paw Sox, Pawtucket Red Sox. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I had done 3 years working there, and it was the end of our season in Pawtucket, and Dave was going to be doing his first season of college football for ESPN. So they needed, they needed coverage fill-in guys for the weekends he was going to miss. So that was the first time I got to fill in.
You got your own September call-up? Yes,
exactly. Exactly. So in 2019, they called in the soft-throwing lefty from the bullpen, you know, who topped out at 72 on Cohasset's JV team sophomore year. Yeah. they called him in from the pen, and I got to work with Jerry, God bless him, and Eck in a three-man booth.
Yeah,
That was on the short list of coolest days of my life.
So, like, on that first day, I know there's so much preparation that goes in the broadcast. And you're like, how do I keep up with these guys? Obviously, rest in peace, Jerry Remy, legend at what he did. Great, great player himself. Eck is one of the best color commentary guys around. Yeah, just tell me your feels going in there and your preparation of, like, I got to not match them because, I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day. That's not going to happen. But how am I going to at least, you know, make a play for myself?
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah. And I spent a lot of time thinking about that going into it. Like, what do I bring to this? Or, like, what do I, you know, how do I fit in with these guys? Yeah. Like, I do not belong here. You know, like, the first game I did, Tom Werner and Sam Kennedy, they came into the booth as well and joined us. So it was Eck, Jerry, Tom Werner, Sam Kennedy, and me. Wow. And I even said on the air at that point, I was like, one of these things is not like the other. but in terms of like my mindset going into it, I prepared like, you know, over the top, way too much. And I knew that going in. Like, I knew I wasn't going to use all the info I had. They were playing against the Orioles, and I had like, you know, I could tell you everything about the 40 players who were on the Orioles roster at that point in the season. And like, Red Sox fans don't really care about any of that information. So like, I didn't end up using it.
They'd rather,
but I would say yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it just, and that's one of the differences between like a national broadcast, if I were doing that game for ESPN versus for Nesson on a local broadcast, like you just don't need to go into as much detail on the opposing team. But then the other thing was when I walked in there, Jerry said to me, like, when I had never met him before. When I first met him, he was like, hey, you do your thing. Like, Eck and I will work around you. And I was like, well, first of all, like, that shouldn't make any sense. Like, you guys are the legends. You do your thing. But it was, he made me feel really comfortable. And then I tried to just, like, less is more, you know, like, listen to what they're saying and, like, play off of what they're saying or ask them a follow-up question. Like, don't be so busy to just like go tell some stat or story that I had in my notes. Just, you know, just because I had prepared for that, like, no, like listen to what the two Hall of Famers have to say.
Enjoy the moment.
And that's what Red Sox fans want to hear. Like they don't care about this kid who looks like he's 14, like coming into the booth who they have no idea who he is, you know, like listen to the big dogs.
That's so cool though, that Jeremy just came up to you and said, do your thing. I just think I'd be so much more comfortable, you know, feeling that way. And, you know, I'm sure the intimidation factor might've kicked in at some point to that, but yeah, it's good to see someone like that, who we all know is a great guy, to come up to you and, you know, say stuff like that.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing.
I was going to ask for one of my questions. How are you going to keep down your nerves too? Like all the preparation going into there, but then once you're finally in that moment, but I guess that kind of answers my question, him like doing that moment with you. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, and I still get nervous, like, before you hit go. Like, it's a different level of nerves. Like, you know, maybe if it's a really big game for me now, like, I'll be, you know, a little more nervous. But there's still, like, a little bit of that, like, anxiousness right before, you know, the light comes on or the producer counting in your ear counts you down. But, yeah, he went a long way, honestly, with saying that to, like, make me feel comfortable. And Eck, you know, he said very similar stuff to me leading up to the game too. And like he has, you know, as you guys know, such an easygoing way about him that like that put me at ease too. You know, like he's just the way he is on the broadcast is the way he is before games too. Like he is just shooting the breeze. Like he's, you know, so passionate about the game. He's telling funny stories. He's making me laugh my ass off. So like that just, you know,
not afraid to rip on players. I would have loved this if that night, like another fan threw a piece of pizza at another person in the grandstands, like that would have been the icing on the cake there.
Yeah. I mean, we've had some funny stuff. I don't know if anything that gets to that level
that resurfaces
or some
like
of the other classics through the years. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's so good.
For sure. And a little bit away from the Red Sox now, this is personally one of my favorite times of the year. And you were, if it wasn't Carl Ravitch, it was you, the Little League World Series. I think you've been doing the past two seasons. Just that's like an all-time dream of mine, going to Williamsport. Seems like it, you know, is everything was, how do you like prepare to talk about 12-year-olds and how great of an experience is it? I mean, we do gambling on the side here at the show. I'll speak myself. I had money on Team Japan. First time in over 30 years, they lost in two games this year. So I'm a dunce for that. But yeah, your take on, play by playing Little League and just that experience itself.
Well, Naz, first of all, I mean, that is smart money, you know, like Japan historically has been so successful, right? Like, and it was funny. So the Red Sox played actually in Williamsport. They played in the Little League Classic, they call it. So they were playing against the Orioles, and Xander Bogaerts joined us for one of the games we were doing, one of the Little League games. And he knew that same stat that you just said. He was like, he knew all this information about these Little League teams. It was incredible. And he was like, yeah, like no one saw Japan losing. Like first time in forever, they've gone two and out. And I was like, dude, like you're in the middle of your season and you know, like all these stats about the Little League World Series. It was incredible. But a couple things. To answer your second question first, like it is so cool doing that. I was the same way as what you just described. Like, you know, growing up when I was 9, 10, 11, 12, that is all I wanted to do was to make it to the Little League World Series and to get to Williamsport. And we lost. We won our district. We lost to the team that eventually won the Massachusetts State Championship. Yeah. So I still don't like Dudley, Massachusetts for that.
I wouldn't even mind being there if I was 15. I'd love having the Danny Almonte story. I mean, that kid's still a legend. He was 15.
Yeah. And so, you know, I always wanted to go there and to be there and call it is so cool. And as for how do you prepare for 12-year-olds? Yeah, it's a good question. Would they fill out these questionnaires that ESPN provides to all the teams?
They're so funny.
Yeah, we ask them all sorts of questions and you get these hilarious answers. And so that provides a lot of it. And then you get to know them over the course of the week. So like my first year there, we had this pitcher, Gavin Weir, this kid from South Dakota, who like basically never gave up a hit. Like as long as he wasn't going to hit the pitch limits, he was going to throw a no hitter. And so like, you know, as the story starts to unfold there, we, you know, get to talk to him before games and stuff. And like, you get a sense for who he is. And like, he's a pretty quiet kid, but like, the kid's nasty. And then he tells us some stories of like meeting the big leaguers when they came in for that Little League Classic I was mentioning. Like he's talking to Angels pitchers and they're FaceTiming like other players to be like, yo, I'm with that kid from South Dakota who's sick. So then you just get these like stories that you want to tell, and you know, you hopefully bring these kids to life a little bit, and you know, you get to tell their story in what's, you know, such a cool moment for them, even when they look back on it when they're old.
You get to go down the hill at all? You ride that cardboard?
Yeah. I did it my first year. I went down successfully. There's also footage of me not going down successfully, like just a total like false start, didn't go anywhere. And Alex Cora went down this year too.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he had a false start. And I saw him right after.
Took out like a kid I saw. It might have been the Orioles manager.
Yeah, you can get going pretty fast down that hill, especially if there's some rain.
Our other co-host who's not here, Magic Mike, would kill me if I didn't ask. Concessions there? Any good? I don't know, burgers. Any? What do they got there? What are we messing with at Williamsport?
I'll crush chicken fingers at at any time. A large number of them. So I keep it simple with the chicken fingers as far as food goes. Dessert wise, I lean Italian ice, like over ice cream.
Wow.
Very good.
That.
Like just just classic Italian ice there.
What flavor?
We got
though?
Some funnel cakes delivered. Shoot, man, I'll go anything. Yeah, but anything like cotton candy, blue flavored, like I'll go anything with Italian ice. And then we've had some food delivered that like parents of certain teams have cooked. So we got like Panamanian food this year, which was really good. Last year there was a team from Louisiana and they cooked us some like Louisiana, like bayou type stuff. Yeah. So we eat well when we're there. Now, yeah. And like literally during the game, we eat well.
Now Panama was that team, right? With the good story, like only a couple of the parents from back home could like watch the game.
Nicaragua.
Oh, Nicaragua. Okay. I'm mixing it up.
Yeah. Yeah. They had one parent there, because of like visa and travel issues. Yeah. So they literally of the 13, I think it was 13 kids on their team, only one parent could be there. And all these people of Nicaraguan descent who live in the United States, they saw that on TV, like at our first game or whatever, or they had heard about it in advance and they were like, no, we're going to drive to these games. Like, we don't know who these players are. They hopped on flights in a lot of cases. And they were like, we're just going to support Team Nicaragua. And it was so cool.
That's awesome.
And they had a good run while they were there.
Was that the team that beat Japan? It might have been. I know
Canada. It was. Wow. It was in an 11-inning game. It was crazy.
Wow.
It was an 11-inning game.
And Canada, it was 0-0 going the sixth. I remember I was watching it at the gym, humble brag. I was at the gym. And then all of a sudden it goes, it's 6-0.
You're jacked. No big deal.
You're going to lose to Canada? You'd be kidding me.
That's so funny.
Yeah, Canada was nasty out of the gates,
too. So back on the, you know, ESPN stuff. So it's all different sports. Have you covered Sunday Night Baseball? Because I feel like you had a little – was that you with Alex Rodriguez one time. Did you learn anything from him or did he say anything worth mentioning?
Yeah. I've done some Major League Baseball for ESPN the last couple years.
Okay.
And this summer worked with A-Rod in a game in July. It wasn't Sunday Night Baseball, but it was Braves Cardinals.
Okay.
Working with A-Rod was really cool. Another situation where you're a little nervous walking into it. You're like, you know, the guy's a little more famous than me, right? we had a great time and he couldn't have been nicer at all. He was so nice, you know, similar to kind of what I was saying about Jerry and Ack. Like he went out of his way to, you know, get to know me, knew my backstory. We prepared a lot together, kind of comparing notes the night before, the day of the game, hanging around the batting cages, talking to some players, talking to the managers. And I felt like we went into it with like a pretty good sense of kind of where both of our heads were at for the game. We had a great time. We got a pretty good game too. That was a lot of fun.
So in terms of the preparation, like what goes into that? Like what, maybe if you can think of like a question or two that you would ask a player, like just say if the Yankees were playing tonight and Aaron Judge is looking for his 61st home run after the ninth straight game. Like, what are you thinking about, you know, finding out notes prior to the game to talk about? Not to put you on the spot, but, you know.
No, it's a good question. Yeah. And it's cool, kind of like a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
In a case like that, I would probably avoid talking to him specifically just because I feel like I don't want to, like, you know, put any more pressure on a guy in any situation when I'm asking questions, but I would probably hit up his teammates or, you know, his coaches, his manager, whatever, and be like, hey, you know, like, what's the craziest story that you've seen from, you know, all the buzz surrounding him? Like, what's the craziest thing you've seen at the ballpark? Or, you know, like another example, Tristan Casas, you know, gets called up. He's playing for the Red Sox. Like the first time I was covering him in Baltimore, like I just went up, introduced myself in the clubhouse. And like I asked him about his pregame routines because those had drawn a little attention. Like he was like sunbathing in the outfield. So I was just, I asked him about something else. But like, you know, like, hey, like what's your pregame routine like? Like, I had heard that he does these like one-handed drills that are a little unique. So then we just got into a discussion of that. So yeah, there's a lot of prep that goes into it, like, you know, researching bios and stats and that sort of thing, but also like the conversations that you have with the players themselves, the coaches, at whatever level it is, whatever sport, and, you know, the interesting stuff, the informative stuff, you hopefully pick and choose the right things to kind of share on a broadcast.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds, makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. The break of preoccupation, you know, like kind of like earn that person's trust, almost get like comfortable with them before you kind of get into the business level.
Yeah. And the way I always explain it, that's a great point. Like, if I'm going to go talk to like the public or like if I'm going to go broadcast a game for 3.5 hours, like, shoot, like, I owe it to like that person and that person's family to like know their story and like research them. Like, if I'm going to talk about like some starting pitcher who's going to be on the mound for 3 hours, like, you know, I should be really prepared to like know what their deal is and like what's going on with them and what they've been working on, like, instead of just out there like saying some nonsense or like speculating or that sort of thing. And like, if, you know, think about doing like college games in particular, like if a player has the best game of his or her life, like you want to be prepared to like bring that person to life and like kind of tell their story, and maybe the adversity they've overcome and stuff. So like, I feel a responsibility to be prepared for that.
So that's a good segue into kind of what else I was going to ask. So, you know, you do all the sports, but, you know, baseball guy or even just like game winners, you know, if you get a bio on a guy, you know, who's, you know, dug through the tough times and hits a walk-off home run, we've all seen it, of the emphasis of, you know, the play-by-play announcer going nuts. Does the passion come from what you know behind the player, or does the passion go from be like, all right, I better make this good?
I think both. Yeah. Like, I think you have a sense for the moment, right? And like, if you're doing a game at Fenway where like we had a walk-off, I think it's probably the only walk-off for the Red Sox that I've called was last year. And they had like a bunch of dudes getting injured. It was early September. Verdugo hits a walk-off in the right field to beat Cleveland. And it was like, they'd had a bunch of guys injured. A bunch of guys went on the COVID IL. And it was like all these random guys were now on the roster. And it was like, you know, like you just got a sense like, hey, there is like a resilience to this team. And they found a way to win this game. And that to me was like what that moment was about. And so like part of that is like the storyline aspect of it, like to what you're saying. But then part of it's also just like the energy of Fenway. Like the crowd's going to like give you that energy and the celebration that the players have. And then, yeah, it's about like meeting the moment and kind of what I was saying earlier. Like it's as close as you get to like actually being in that dugout yourself and like being on the Red Sox is like, all right, try to convey the emotion that they're feeling, or that, you know, the biggest diehard fan, you know, sitting at home watching the game is feeling. Like, try to bring that energy into someone's living room.
I'm sure too, like you mentioned Fenway Park. I'm sure you've covered whether it's collegiate baseball or, you know, even just minor league baseball where there's not a lot of fans and, you know, you have to bring your own energy. But, you know, when Fenway Park comes around, that the energy brings itself.
Yeah, it really does. And yeah, I've seen it, you know, I've done minor league games where I literally look outside the booth and I can count the fans out there. And it's like, oh, we have 17 fans on this Tuesday night, you know, in whatever league it is in the low levels of the minor leagues. So yeah, like, you know, it's a little easier when there's a packed house and you have, you know, 37,000 or whatever it is inside of Fenway, just going bananas, or like this weekend, 80,000 Florida State fans who are going absolutely nuts.
That probably just speaks to the grind of like where you've gone in your career though, from, you know, 17 people in the stands on a Tuesday night to a full 80,000 like house. I mean, that's gotta be humbling, huh?
Yeah, it totally is. Yeah. That's a really good way to put it. Yeah. Like, sometimes I'll just sit there and look around and be like, man, like, I am really lucky to be in this position. And like, you know, I don't take it lightly because I know I'm very lucky, and you need to get breaks along the way to be in a situation like that. And, you know, there's so many good announcers out there. So yeah, anytime you're in, you know, a cool historic place like that, and, you know, it's absolutely packed. And like, I try to do it during the national anthem, just take a moment to, like, you know, you guys were saying it earlier, just to like kind of stop and slow down and be like, hey, like, this is pretty awesome. Yeah. And just take a moment of like reflection before a game starts.
For sure. I'm not going to lie. That's like my time when I reflect too. I literally like look around. I'm like, wow, this place is awesome. This place is great. Let's go, America.
Yeah.
And whatever games we have to play, I can run through a brick wall.
Exactly. Like, that's what we all grew up like. You exactly. know, whenever we were first drawn to sports, whatever team it was, whatever like favorite player it was. Like, so yeah, I'm the same way.
Oh, I was at the Patriots game on Sunday. Went through the same way till about the fourth quarter when all that mumbo jumbo went off. One of my last questions here. So, you know, the life of a play-by-play announcer, especially when you're working for different outlets here, traveling, like you said, you were in Tallahassee last week. Just give me a rundown of like your craziest week to like in terms of travel and just where your head was at of being like, okay, I need to know these notes for these players in the Blackhawks game, and then I also got to do a Red Sox game on Friday. By the way, going to be in Florida for another college football game on Saturday. Anything like that you can share with us where it was just crazy madness?
AK, what's it like being the prime time of broadcasters?
It's honestly like you almost like pulled out certain stories that have happened to me. I should like make a list of like the craziest travel stories. Because I've had some crazy ones. Yeah, it wouldn't be well read, but maybe someday. I'm trying to think. All right, so some good travel stories. A couple years ago, I was supposed to do a Red Sox spring training game on a Sunday, and it was a Sunday 1 o'clock game. And I had like a 7 p.m. or an 8 p.m. college basketball game in Atlanta. And so I did the game, drove from Atlanta to Fort Myers, in like Ocala, Florida, slept for 2 hours in like a motel or something, woke up, drove the rest of the way to Fort Myers. That was pretty intense.
Eight hour drive, sounds like.
I think so, six or eight, yeah. I forget. But yeah, something like that. Then I had one, this one was pretty crazy. So I was doing a college hockey game. So I was freelancing at the time. So I was working a lot for Big Ten Network, but I was also freelancing at some other places. So on Friday night, I had a hockey game in Minnesota, a college hockey game. And it was like a 7 p.m. start time. The next day, I had a college basketball game in Virginia at like Old Dominion. And there was a flight from Chicago to Norfolk, Virginia, which is where Old Dominion is, I think. And so I did the hockey game. I drove 6 hours to Chicago. I went to my apartment. I like dropped off my bag, went back to the airport, didn't sleep at all, hopped on a flight. It got delayed. I landed with an hour to go until the basketball game started, hopped in a cab, went to the arena, got to the arena like 45 minutes before the game started, called the basketball game in Virginia, went back to the airport and slept for like the next 2 days.
I was covering that game. It's tough to know all the players Old Dominion. Yeah.
So like, luckily I was in a position where I kind of got that prep work done in advance. Mm-hmm. So like once the game started, like I knew what I needed to know. It's honestly just like, hopefully you're like mentally clear headed enough and not feeling like you're drunk, like broadcasting a game because you're on so little sleep. But the adrenaline of that really helped. So like the Old Dominion crowd was sick. So that like, you know, you kind of feed off of that and that kind of brings the energy for you. I've had some crazy travel stories. I could keep going.
That's awesome.
I got one more question here. So you're full time with ESPN with doing a little bit of Nesson. Is the final goal to like set yourself with one team, or are you just trying to take this as far as you can to wherever you can go? Like, do you have an ultimate goal out there?
I really don't. And I get asked that a lot too. I really don't. Like, I was that kid growing up that, like I was saying, like I loved whatever sport was in season. So like, if you had asked me my favorite sport as a kid, depending what time of the year it was, I would have given you a different answer. And I'm kind of still that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, certainly if a great team opportunity came along in whatever pro sports league it is, you know, I'd be really excited to do that, in the right situation. But I also love the variety that I have, you know, at ESPN, getting to do hockey and little league baseball and, you know, college baseball and basketball and football, whatever else it is. It's pretty fun. It keeps it fresh. And you get to meet a lot of really cool people.
Yeah, that's definitely going to help out for like future opportunities, just staying versatile. I mean, just remember an old coach once back in the day, he tried to get me on the mound as I was playing middle infield. He's like, one day you're only going to be able, one team's only going to let you do one of these things. So you got to play as many positions as you can. And that, I was like, wow, you could actually like put that into any kind of work field or anything in your whole life, which I mean, to your
point. I think you totally can.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you totally can. And like when I was starting to do this in college, people said like, don't say no to an opportunity. So like people would be like, oh, have you ever broadcast this sport before? And I'd be like, oh yeah, like definitely. And then girls, I'm like, field hockey, crap, let's go. Well, that was a tough one for me. Like, I didn't know anything about field hockey. Volleyball was tough. We didn't have like a volleyball team in high school, so I hadn't been around it or like had friends who played it in high school. Fencing I did in college. So like, I didn't know much about that. yeah, right. There's three different weapons. I know that much. I think it's absolutely the case. Like making yourself more versatile.
Out of all those like sports, what would you say is like your favorite outside of like obviously the traditional? Like what was your favorite to cover?
You know what's really fun? Oh, I would say two sports. Volleyball is so cool. Like those athletes are insane. Like they are so tall. They jump so high, and the game is so fast paced. I didn't know it. Like I was saying, I didn't know anything about volleyball. That is really fun. And I would say softball too. It's, you know, it's a shorter game. It's what, 7 innings at the collegiate level. And it's so fast. It's kind of like the Little League World Series where like you get a ground ball hit in softball and it's a bang, bang play. Oh, yeah. Like even like a routine ground ball is a bang, bang play every time.
Those lefties that just hit ground balls who are just like Speedy Gonzalez, like
slap hitters.
Oh, it's nuts. I couldn't dream of running that fast.
Yeah.
So Adam used to be a volleyball guy, though. Yeah, you don't have to be tall. School. There's some ex players, you know, some versatile people.
We were one and done, middle school.
Central middle school, shout out.
Yeah. Mike, really appreciate you coming on, man. Best of luck with everything, and we'll be sure watching big series in Toronto this weekend, maybe for Toronto, not for the Red Sox. For Mike Monaco, though.
Yeah.
It'll be a big one.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. No, thanks, boys, for the invite. I really appreciate it.
And I got one last thing for you. You know what? It could be a catchphrase, just because you used it on the first time you broadcast it with Legends, with one of these things is not like the other. Just throwing it out there. Just throwing it out there.
I love it. Right? Let's get some more get some more recommendations from the listeners. Absolutely. We need people like chiming in on that.
We'll post that on our story.
Clearly, I need some help.
Yeah. We'll get a questionnaire going. And next BC game, say hi to Zay Flowers. We had him on a couple
Zay
weeks
Flowers
ago.
Zay Flowers is our guy.
Yeah, so
I was just talking to him last week. Yeah, what a great guy.
Yeah, tell him you were on Sailing Nets.
Yeah, we went in his apartment. We met his dog. It was a good time.
It was our first road game. It was a good one.
Mike, appreciate
the road show, baby. It's coming up when you hit 100 again.
Oh, absolutely. Gotta do it. Yeah, Mike, really appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, see Mike. You. Have a good night.
2022 is here. Do you have your resolution? Here's an idea. Make your way down to Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, located in Braintree, Mass. Owned and operated by Coach Craig Kelly, you can be assured you are getting the best training around. Whether looking to improve your health or gain a slight edge on your competition, this is the gym for you. Group fitness classes as well as personalized one-on-one training are both available. Make sure to visit slightedgefit.com as well as follow them on Instagram at slightedgefitness and set up a consultation today. It's time to get fit, so let it rip.
And we're back. That was Nessun's Mike Monaco, also featured on ESPN, full-time guy. Me and Showtime let it rip there. These two weren't here the other night. I just think tremendous interview, just seeing a kid from Cohasset, you know, go all that way. We talked about the Little League World Series. I brought up my Japan loss, and he was like a little tidbit if you didn't, you'll hear the interview, but he was just like, yeah, we were talking to Xander Bogaerts the next day after they lost. I'm like, he like brought up that same stat too. I'm like, I'm smoked.
Damn. Smoked? Oh, yeah, tough scene.
stuff. So
did you ask him what happened in Japan this year? Like,
for the first time in 31 years, they lost the first two games.
Did he give you reasons?
No, they just, I don't even know, they weren't ready. They weren't ready for the moment.
Yeah, you know, you hate to see it too.
They weren't ready for the
fucking kids.
You know?
We talked about, Red Sox a little bit. Overall, great interview. I kind of wanted to hear more about his background, and that was great to hear. Showtime was prime time last night, the other night. Anything to say? He's behind the camera.
No days off.
What a guy. Great voice. Made for radio.
Made for radio. That indeed.
His stories about Jerry Remy were awesome.
Good stuff to hear.
That's awesome.
Yep.
That's unreal.
There is nothing better than a good radio voice.
Yeah.
Like the dude who did the Kings of Combat fucking... I don't even know. He didn't do ours, but he did the pro fights, and me and Showtime like drove him somewhere. His voice was the sexiest thing ever. We were like, can you just say that for us?
Yeah, can you just
hear an announcer
speaking?
Voice?
Can you just keep speaking?
Now coming to the bedroom. He was great. Shout out to that guy.
Moving on now, so great interview there, another top notch there. The Patriots suffered their second loss of the season, dropped a 1-2 against losing at 37-26 to the Baltimore Ravens. Mac Jones gets hurt in the closing minutes. I was at the game firsthand, and I just gotta say, it was as advertised, but you know what? They had an opportunity to win the game, which kind of hurts even more. Because I think going into it, I think we all predicted last week Baltimore was going to win.
Yeah.
But they had plenty of opportunity there in that fourth quarter where, you know, if they won the turnover battle, I think they win the game. At one point, they were winning the turnover battle, and then Mac Jones goes down, throws the pick, that another 50-50 ball to Devontae Parker, who actually had a great game.
He did.
But, threw an unexcusable pick in the end zone, and then he threw another one right before
he got five at that point.
I mean, that was...
Yeah, they got five.
That second half was probably the worst half of Mac's career.
I just think the fourth quarter in particular, you know.
Just saying, yeah. However you want to put it, yeah. But exactly, the end of that game, I mean, it was like it just crumbled bad.
And you know what?
And obviously, the injury.
I like what they're doing in the running game wise too. They're not really fully invested on Damian Harris.
Stevenson.
This happens like every 3 years. They have you see Sony Michel, see like Shane Vereen, you just see all these backs coming in and just leaving. Damian Harris will be somewhere else. When his contract, expires, and Stevenson's going to be the guy. But, you know, what a great tandem they have in the running game. Devontae Parker finally showed out 5 receptions for 156 yards. And you know what I saw, too, what you saw on the radio all week, was Kendrick Bourne, still another, I think he was like 25% snaps, and little Jordan Humphrey, 0 catches, 0 receptions, 0 targets, plays 83% of the snaps. Like, what are we doing here, Bill?
Blocking, I guess. That's it.
Blocking for what? 26 points in an out?
He's wasting the last valuable years of his career. Still benching people. Still being a hard ass.
What a pretty good game, too, though. He had, like 4 catches, 60 yards, Bourne.
Yeah. He had 5 targets, 4 catches, and on, like, 12 plays. Like, how ridiculous is that?
Dumb.
Just dumb.
It's not good.
On the other end, Lamar Jackson did what he does best. Get closer to the microphone.
Top of the mic, yeah.
Top of the mic.
Yeah, it's dynamic.
That's our producer
showtime
for you.
Yeah, there we go.
So Lamar Jackson balled out. He bet on himself this year in another, he didn't exactly play like his best game, but when it came down to it, when it came down in the fourth quarter, he made plays on his feet. I mean, 11 carries, 107 yards on the ground, 4 touchdown passes. Mark Andrews, who's my fantasy guru guy, wasn't cheering for him when I was in the stands. By the way, great food, great spread out there in Gillette Stadium. Great stuff.
And were you in a box?
Oh, in the box. We were repping.
And we asked Mike Monaco about the concessions at
Williamsport. Yeah, that was big. It's worth a listen.
Okay.
That is. I can't wait for that.
I was just like, oh, Magic's going to kill me if I don't ask this. Because I know they have like some crazy shit there.
That's fucking right.
Yeah, back on the Patriots, now Mac Jones gets hurt. They're still in limbo. They're being, the way the Patriots are, the way Bill Belichick is.
Day by day.
We're not going to know. He's a high ankle sprain, and he's still not counting himself out of Sunday. Through the reports I heard, someone said on the team, told privately to a reporter, saying, Matt Jones is tough as nails, but, he doesn't really know when he's coming back, but he wants to come back. And, you know, I'll give respect where credit's due here. And Mac Jones, as bad as he's played, you know, I think the first three games, he's played pretty bad, in particular on Sunday. But, you know, having, what's his name, Brian Hoyer coming in against, you know, a hungry Green Bay team who just beat Tampa Bay, who we're going into Lambeau. AJ Dillon, Quadzilla.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be tough.
Dude, I mean,
it's going to be a murder.
I think they, after what, Lamar just did to our defense, and they, our defense did get him a couple times, too, but, like, now we got Hoyer and Lambeau, possibly. Yuck.
No, this be the end of Brian Hoyer's career?
I don't think so, because, actually, imagine, we were at Mohegan Sun the time where, it's the last time he played against the Chiefs during COVID.
He had a pretty good game that game.
No, he was horrible.
Did he almost win that game?
We did, but he
had three opportunities in the red zone and we got 0 points.
Yeah.
You're not going to win the games in the NFL doing that way.
I cannot believe it is the year 2022 and, like, I might watch Brian Hoyer start for the Pats.
Yeah, and the thing...
What do you mean you might? You are.
It's ridiculous. I mean, what do we have?
It's unfortunate.
The stats, like, he's, like, 0-13 in his last starts, 0-11.
Something crazy.
Double digits. I think
he probably wasn't winning this game either, so...
They'd be more competitive. And you also...
Yeah, you could watch it.
If you also want to take the glass half full...
I'll watch it burner.
The glass half full summary is Mac Jones hasn't played well this season. How much worse can Brian Hoyer do? But you know what? He could do worse.
Zappy zone. Let's go.
I wish.
I'm hoping
a torn ACL right out of the gate. Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, Brian Hoyer.
End his career.
Who's next on the draft? On the depth
Bailey
chart?
Zappy.
Bailey Zappy. Joey Zappy. Joey
Zappy's
brother. He's
legit brother.
Legit brother. Western Kentucky prodigy.
Hell yeah.
So the Pats are going in as 10. I think the number's at 9.5 right now, underdogs.
That's
going to
be high.
On the road against the Packers. Packers have not looked too promising offensively. Obviously, they have Aaron Rodgers, but they lost all their receivers.
Yeah,
Alan Lazard kind of highlights their receiving core. They barely beat the Bucks last week, who are a real depleted team offensively. Going on the road here, I think it's going to be close as a spread, but I'm taking the Packers by 14 points. I think it's going to be whatever that math is, 31. I think they could put up 17 points with the running game. Because, yeah, I think they were talking about how bad Green Bay's run defense is, and if, you know, they can somehow come out and get a couple scores, even if it's just like a back door, you know, to the 14. I'm thinking 31-17 Green Bay final. Quadzilla with a touchdown.
Taking a team that just beat Tom Brady to, like, not beat a team with Brian Hoyer goes against everything I believe in. So, like, Packers, buy a pillion.
Yeah. I don't know. Tom Brady, 3 touchdowns in 3 games.
Yeah. Hey, 45. He should be long gone.
Possibly getting divorced.
Yeah. Like, he should be long gone. Like, you can't, like, whatever. But I do not. Their defense, their run defense has been spotty, but overall... And in this game, the fact that, like, they won't have to, like, worry about the passing game, really. Like, they can focus in on stopping the run. I don't know. Like, I don't feel good about the pass at all this week. I think Packers cover.
Packers cover?
Yeah.
Packers definitely cover. What do you go for a score?
Maybe 27-10.
Actually, intern Andrew texted me today. He's safe. He's down in Tampa. But he went out to Orlando because of Hurricane Ian. Right, Ian?
Yeah.
So he was ruled safe.
Good.
But he
played, work out for him.
But he also said Packers by a billion, and he took the Bengals tonight. So, and the Steel Curse took the Bengals tonight. So roll with the Dolphins.
All whites, baby. All whites. Yeah, they look great. Win or lose, like, they look
right
amazing.
Now?
No. Oh,
white tiger.
Those things look amazing. Yeah, it's a white tiger, man. Relax. Those things look incredible.
My score for
white
Packers
Bengals
is 24-7. Obviously, Green Bay.
Why, obviously?
It just, they're going to get rolled. Brian Hoyer, come on.
Yeah, fuck
on I just
yeah,
remember
yeah,
we were in Nashville for the Pats game, and as soon as they put in Brian Hoyer because the game was out of reach, we just went to the honky tonk.
Yeah,
Nashville. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm supposedly going to the game next week against Detroit, and, like, I kind of don't want to go now.
Come on.
Brian Hoyer?
Exactly.
Hoyer can beat, he can beat the Lions, I think.
Lions
are a good team.
Lions are great.
Going to the Detroit game.
It's literally on my birthday.
Oh,
So get it,
spend it on a better fucking thing. In
a box, yeah. I'm home with you. Right, so a couple of
Naz is living that box life. Yeah, that's it, man.
Box lunches all day.
Box seats for Naz.
So we let it loose with, you know, the Patriots. Obviously a horrible loss to the Ravens, and I think it's a consensus that they're just going to get blown the fuck out against the Packers. My lock of the week's coming up here. How about the 9:30 game in London? Minnesota Vikings on the road. Hey, people, if you're on a bender Saturday night, going into Sunday, you got a 9:30 a.m. start with the Minnesota Vikings. They're not on the road. This is a neutral territory game. 2.5 points against the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints are pretty depleted right now. I think who's out? Michael Thomas is out. Jarvis Landry's out. I think Jameis Winston's, like, questionable. This is a team that, you know, not there. Kirk Cousins has a chance to win the NFC North this year. I said it from the beginning. And 2.5 point spread. Let it rip on the Minnesota Vikes. Magic.
My pick is, I need Devin. Devin's got something to say. We got Devin Clark.
Okay.
All right. I had a small little question. I was going to bring a small tear of a tangent in.
That's fine.
Oh, perfect.
All right. So, big question here. Hurricane football game. Any thoughts?
Who are they playing?
Well, it's Tampa Bay versus Kansas City.
Oh, no.
They're relocating it. They moved
Where?
It to Minneapolis.
No,
why not New England?
Did they not move it?
They moved it to Minneapolis.
When was that, though?
Today. That's the news. They're moving it to Minneapolis.
I think it's bullshit they should be playing in Foxborough.
They could have had a homecoming for the boys.
Put that at Gillette.
Hey, little side. So the little update for today.
Tom definitely boycotted that. He was like, I fucking hate New England. I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I can't go back.
I want nothing to do with New England. Do not even consider that as a place to put this.
I would have bought tickets. Like,
I know everyone would have.
That would have sold out.
All of us, desperate love, ex-lovers of his.
I'm not an ex. I'm a Kurt.
Great news
update from Devin there. Thank you.
Just because
thank you, Weatherman. Devin Clark.
Meteorologist.
My lock of the week. You had to scroll down. I like that. Give me the Eagles versus Jags. What have we got on this?
6.5. The Jags have been looking pretty good.
Jags look good.
The return of Gardner Minshew against the Jags in Philly, though.
Yeah, which is tough, though, because Trevor Lawrence, I want to be
I won that game, but maybe give me the Jags.
Give me the Jags.
Gardner?
Jags.
I'm riding with Gardner.
Since we're already on the topic, I think they were the most impressive team last week. I thought, no doubt, no question, the Chargers were going to absolutely whoop their ass, and it was just the polar opposite. And that 24-0 win over the Indy the week before, that's no longer a fluke. Looks like the real deal. Trevor Lawrence, and then they have Doug Peterson, who's the head coach. I think the Jaguars are a team that could make the playoffs, considering how bad their
division
is.
Shitty division.
Equals, you know, good.
Why
points.
Is Gardner starting?
Gardner's the backup on Philly.
He'll just be there.
He's going to be there,
and he's going to look great.
Was Gardner ever on Jacksonville?
I got a lock of the week. I'm kind of riding with this team. They've been doing well for me, even though I messed up, thought they'd play with Geno Smith. I got the Jets this week.
Gross.
Jets over the Steelers.
Jets over the Steelers.
3.5. You got a 3.5 spread. There you go. +3.5.
Taking it.
Oh, taking the game? Flacco? Flacco's the quarterback.
No, it's Wilson this week, I think.
Oh,
he's back.
Oh, Pittsburgh Club.
Yeah, that's what I said, yeah.
Well, nobody knows who the quarterback's going to be on this team, but we got to look at the big Buckeye, Garrett Wilson, and then Breece Hall. They're putting up teams. Watch your bench this week. They're going to go off.
Ooh. Uh-oh. Nice little fantasy.
Who's this guy?
Watch out.
We let Showtime run in the ringer today. And he's looking for a spot in the punt. He'll pull me out of a job,
brother.
I like it.
Steele, who do you got?
I got Kyler Murray and the Cardinals taking down the Panthers.
What a shit game that is.
Exactly, but fuck them. No Christian McCaffrey. You can still get +1.5 for the Cardinals. Christian McCaffrey hasn't practiced yet this week. I think they're going to win handily.
He's on my fantasy team. That would not be good.
Well, that sucks for you.
We love it.
Day by day.
We love a handedly win.
Yeah, Cardinals. Think they got it. Think they're going to give Baker hell. I mean, if Christian McCaffrey ain't back there, they're not going to worry about him.
What team's looking like the best in the league right now as of...
You know what the team plays tonight has been... unbelievable their first three games, the Miami Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa has, you know, he's got MVP votes in three games. I mean, don't get me started with three-week MVPs when there's 14 more weeks this season. But so far they've looked good. You know, wide receiver duo of Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, great stuff to see. Taking down the Bills despite, you know, their depleted defense with injuries. You know, took it to the pass the first week, come back against Baltimore. You know, the only two remaining undefeated teams, technically, are them and the Eagles. And the Eagles are another team that looks good. Still, any teams that are impressing you because they kind of went off about Jacksonville?
Well, it's still like it's probably been the best month in, like, the past 20 years in the NFL for Bama quarterbacks. Mac Jones, like, Tua and Jalen Hurts are, like, running the show right now.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
And Mac Jones had a good year last season, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Exactly. And, I mean, that's been a stigma of Bama. That's been, like, the thing. Like, everyone else is good. The quarterback sucks. Like, that's, like... But, yeah, no, I think those teams look great.
Who's looking like a fraud? I'll go right away. I was big on this team going into the season. Their offense just they're actually 2-1, but their offense just hasn't moved the ball at all. So maybe they'll get things going. But Russell Wilson, man, you see that sandwich?
They're fraud. The other day? That was the creepiest commercial I've ever seen.
That was one of the creepiest shits I've ever seen. Dangerous. This guy's fucking weird.
That was a serial killer. Yeah. Like, that was scary shit, man.
You see BFT's blog? He's just like Russell Wilson, the serial killer, and he just, like, blended in the guy Dahmer. Playing Jeffrey Dahmer and doing his face.
Can we get into that show at all?
I definitely
don't rock in that yet.
I finished it. I'm done.
I'm out halfway through. Right
it was great stuff.
Yeah, it's intense stuff. Didn't know Jeffrey Dahmer was gay.
Oh yeah,
that was like a thing. That was like a thing.
He loved
that
cock. He loved it.
Yeah, he did. He loved cock and killing and eating. He liked eating ass and then fucking killing that ass. Great show though. Yeah, that guy who played was great.
Like and subscribe.
Also, quick shout out here is with the NHL preseason starting. First goal of the preseason, Ryan Shea.
Nice.
So stealing that.
Dallas Stars, yeah. Texas Stars.
He's on Dallas. That's who he scored it for.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He played Texas Stars as their NHL team. So hopefully he gets the call this year. We're all rooting for you. But, yeah, great to see you out there. Bruins so far. We'll get a little bit more talking as the week, you know, goes.
Almost.
But we're almost there.
October's right around the corner. Basketball season's back. Let's go, boys.
All right, Steele, we're going to hand the phone to you. You know, big time milestone last night for your New York Yankee, soon to be Boston Red Sox, Aaron Judge, 61st home run. What do you think?
See, I mean, well, first off, I'm not worried about that because I'm still worried about this year. Sorry. I know you're out of baseball, but it was incredible. I mean, Yankee Ty Maris, like, I never thought I'd see it in my life, honestly. And the Yankees are also kind of back as, like, a team.
Yeah, they're playing
like,
a ball.
I feel like not just... Like, they crumbled hard there for, like, a month.
They're probably going to end up being the two spot, right? So, we're going to buy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, things look great. And, I mean, absolute loser.
Suck.
Yo.
That guy.
Dive on the
idiot.
Field, dude. What
that
you
hit
doing?
His glove.
If it hits
more a glove.
If it hits your glove, you got to catch
and
it.
And you missed it.
And that guy next to him was being cordial to not, like, try and bump that guy because he was like, oh, this guy has a chance to catch it. Like,
which is nuts because, like, that's a multi-million dollar ball.
That's when they get a box out and you
know, the next one, though, when he breaks the record for 62, though, that ball is literally...
Yeah, that's...
So how many games are left?
Like six.
Okay, yeah, he's in there. He's getting
it. He better get it. I mean, it took him 9 games to hit the next one.
He's getting it.
How's Bulos? Did he do his thing?
Oh,
yeah,
he hit two and one. Last week, he's already there.
So he needs one more?
No, he's good.
He's good.
And it was unreal with him, too, because, like, all of them were moonshots for Pujols. Like, they were, like, throwback, just, like, bombs.
Yeah, they're juicing balls, and everyone's on roads right now. It's a great era.
We're back.
Yeah, we're legit back.
If I was Pujols, he hit 21 home runs at the age of 42. After that 21st home run to get the 700, I'd be like, all right, give me, like, a coach clipboard. I'm fucking done.
Yeah, just, like, put the cleats in the locker and be, like, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
dude.
Well, then make the playoffs. Just, like, sit on the bench and, like, give guys some guidance. But you don't need to play.
Big Poppy was fucking swinging down until his fucking dying day, dude.
Yeah, Big Poppy still had it, though, man.
Big Poppy still has it. I feel
probably.
Like he can still play.
He could have played until he's 45.
Post-shooting.
Yeah.
Very happy.
I post-shooting, yeah.
I was so happy when that guy fucked off.
Yeah, Yeah, you guys forgot he's a kingpin.
I forgot about it.
Yeah, he was shot. Shooting. Yeah.
He needed that for the street cred.
Oh.
Yankees
in
six.
Yankees
in
six in the World Series.
I see him in the
club
sometimes. You should see the Cubans. This guy rocks. It's fucking absolutely.
Houston's going to embarrass a team like they do every single season.
One day, Justin Verlander will fuck off. It's not yet, though.
The Mets are taking the World Series this year. I'm calling it.
Wrong.
God doesn't want that to happen.
No, God wants it. He told me.
But those shades.
I saw him today. We don't need to talk about it, but God told me the Nets are running
the Dodgers, Braves, going to eat that
it's
ass.
It's a damn shame Showtime's not on camera because his fit is
incredible.
Fit is insane.
You'll see it one day.
An insane fit.
It'll be out of the pack.
You'll see it one day.
Get
yeah,
the
I might be in the pack.
Do we have anything else, guys? What's going on?
Oh, well, I mean, are we going to not talk about the elephant in the room?
Oh, it's the elephant. You?
All I see is a trophy.
There's a trophy.
Oh, you
here.
Stole your trophy from the team that you were a cheerleader for?
Yeah, I heard you were being a real scum.
Yeah. He was a real scum.
Cheerleaders get rings.
Damn.
I'm shocked that's what I'm being called here.
Wow.
Is that really
talking
the take?
Talking shit.
Is that really the take?
Talking shit, Malachi.
I saw a game manager.
I see a guy who was best dressed at the tourney.
Worst dressed?
That's just not true. I had numerous people
see,
say
you left your glasses there. Those glasses were shit.
Are they gone?
They're gone. Fuck. I saw them. I didn't pick them.
Some guy fast.
Those are
$10
glasses.
Yeah.
At least the fedora didn't leave. Get lost, because that is an expensive fedora.
You almost lost the keys to the bathroom. Me and Anton had to find those. You know, MVP of the day, Matt Forbes. Let's give him a little round of applause while we can.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he do that was so good?
He saved your life. He helped clean. And then he... Hey, Rags. We went to Rags after. Had a night.
Hey, Rags.
Hey, Rags.
I
said that 100,000 times that day. Screaming.
You know what?
Great day, though.
Everyone hates the Malachi's team. We're a powerhouse.
No. I'm a big fan of most of the kids on the team. You're not even, like, on the team. You didn't play 1 second. You don't deserve any of that trophy. It's bullshit. You embarrass yourself. You embarrass your team. You embarrass the podcast.
I have no shame.
I think you
no
have
embarrassment.
And you have
no,
a trophy in your life.
Literally no embarrassment for anything I did. Anything I said or did that day. I'll live with it.
I hit you over like a sack of potatoes, and I'll do it again.
Yeah, and I walked away laughing at my bench, and my guys said, good work. You're in their heads.
You literally hit me in the face, and I said, I'm going to push you.
What do we got?
What
did
I hit you in the face with?
It was a double push.
What did I hit you
and
with?
And he didn't think I was going to hit him, and he was fucking shook.
Did I punch him?
Walked back to his bench like a little bitch and sat down. Oh, Jackie Hughes was screaming at me.
A little bitch doesn't walk back to the bench with a joker. I had a joker ear to ear grin on my face. I knew what I was.
You don't even remember the game.
It sounds like
I remember
still
getting punched, and I remember walking over laughing menacingly. And my feet was like good
head,
stuff.
He's still
I've,
deep
I've,
in your head.
I had never had anyone
I think so
in my
too,
head.
For him to say.
You had zero part of that championship.
I must have had a little part because I texted the coach of the team today.
The kids
and said, where's
on
the
your
trophy?
Team didn't even like you that day.
Not true.
I think 100% true. 100% true. At least 75% of the team did not like you.
Should I call him right now? Should we get call-ins from some of the guys?
I think I'm good.
No,
unless you really want to.
No, go for it. You won the shit.
You know, as
don't
a
let
team,
him bring
he
you
didn't
down.
Win. His team won. He did not win.
I'm on the fucking team.
You have zero at bats.
As
all the
crap
dealing
has.
Call the captain of Malachi's right now. I guarantee he doesn't answer your phone call.
Who got to leave him?
I might call Richie McAllister.
Who's the captain?
Say that again?
Who's the captain?
Yeah, I don't imagine. Maddie's not even on the team. They only played this year because they were running.
I've been
guys.
On the team for three years. I've won multiple championships with these guys.
Call him right now.
See, now last year I was a champion.
Am I the MVP?
See, he proved my point. He proved my point. He played an inning for us last year.
Champion.
That's why he's a champion.
You do have to play an inning.
You have to play an inning. You didn't play one inning. You didn't even think about swinging a bat.
I thought about it.
No, you definitely didn't.
I did. There were plenty of opportunities. I reached up Jack Freeze team and bent them over and spanked them like little babies. 22-0
Yeah,
that team won a Sunday league? Are you kidding me?
Losers brag about the quarterfinals.
I'm not bragging about nothing. We did what we just did. We walked
Magic,
in.
Drink out that trophy.
I will next beer.
Right now.
Right now.
I will.
Right now. Right now, come on.
Right now,
it's the end of your Malachi's fucking rant. Everyone else will see you next year. You know there's a target on your back.
Target's on our back.
Carson said he's not even on the team. He's literally not
I'm literally on the team.
Congrats to everyone on Malachi's spot scoop.
Fair. To all my Malachi's guys,
Coop played well.
I'm sure he did.
And by the way, that push was the weakest shit I've ever. That was ridiculous.
You literally fell on your backside.
Like a girl.
You were dead. You literally shook. You
it's a charity tournament. What are you pushing me for?
You embarrassed yourself. You embarrassed the podcast. You embarrassed the team.
Who is embarrassed?
Dumping beers on people in the whole
everyone.
You cross the line, man.
I poured a beer on Curran's face because he made a terrible running play that lost his team the game.
You should have been playing an inning.
You should have been thrown.
You're literally the worst person there.
Send us off.
Drink out of the fucking cup.
I'm gonna drink this. Fuck Team Naz. I rescind my apologies.
Still deep in the head.
Not in my head. I'm not on the team.
You're literally still talking about my push. Literally still talking about the push because you were fucking on your ass.
Don't you dare not finish that.
Naz must have thought he was playing football like a tackle. A push on me is it didn't win you the shit.
If you push on him, you gotta win. You were a rodeo clown. We should have signed you up for the circus.
You should have. You shouldn't have let me get this thing, I'll tell you that much.
I don't even know why you have it. I think everyone else deserves it but you.
I'm gonna have my night with it tonight. I'm gonna make sure everyone on the team gets around with it. I'm gonna have my phone with it tonight, I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you that.
If you want this trophy, come and beat Malachi's next year. We're not going nowhere. This beer tastes delicious.
See, I poured a beer on him this time.
Disgusting. That's what I expect from losers like Team
Losers? Naz. You literally didn't even play.
All right. Nah, send us off.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk from stealing Naz. Not Magic. Didn't play a game. Embarrassed himself. We'll see you next week for another episode. This is episode 95.
Mike, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for coming, man. You can go now. We'll see you
I'm next resigning time. From stealing Naz.
I know what
I'm out.